Caldwell. As Congress returns from a seven-week election break, it will now be getting a nudge from President Obama. He's kicking off a series of meetings with labor officials and business executives aimed at pushing Congress to cut the federal debt in a way he sees fit. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has his own message for the president.
No Republican will vote for higher tax rates. We will generate revenue from eliminating deductions and loopholes, but we will insist our Democratic friends reform entitlements.
This is NBC News Radio. The price tag is a hefty one to repair the damage from Hurricane Sandy in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo is requesting $30 billion in federal aid to rebuild. And now New York City Council will vote today on a $500 million emergency plan to pay for critical repairs for schools and hospitals that suffered storm damage. No more odd-even rationing for New Jersey motorists as of this hour. Governor Chris Christie says gas supplies are once again plentiful following Hurricane Sandy. UPS is pulling the plug on its funding for the Boy Scouts. Here's NBC's Paul Harlan.
The Boy Scouts' stance on gay membership is taking a toll on their funding. Following the lead of the Intel Corporation, shipping giant UPS has just announced it will no longer provide grants to the Boy Scouts of America as long as the group discriminates against gays. UPS took the action in the face of an online petition of protest that gathered over 80,000 signatures.
I'm Barbara Cusack, NBC News Radio.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far,
while a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
The man behind Windows 8 and Microsoft's widely presumed CEO-in-waiting has abruptly quit the company. 23-year veteran Steve Sinofsky ran the Windows division and spearheaded the biggest retooling of the operating system in 17 years. But Windows 8 has been slammed by critics and passed over by many consumers since its release. No explanation for the departure by either Sinofsky or Microsoft, except for a source telling Reuters the decision was mutual. If you go used car shopping, get ready for even greater sticker shock than usual, and be sure to thank Hurricane Sandy. Edmunds.com tells USA Today that because of damage and destruction to so many vehicles, new and used, mostly in New Jersey and New York, supply is now super tight, and that likely means an average increase in used car prices of $700 to $1,000 per car. Stock futures falling, S&P futures losing 10, NASDAQ futures down 17, Dow futures off 70. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never miss the beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing, that hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped, and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517.
Program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now, as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 13th day of November 2012. I hope you're all doing well on this early Tuesday morning. We have a great show lined up for you. Lots of stuff to discover. Some good news, some mixed news, some suspicious news along the way. And, of course, you are welcome to engage with us throughout today's program, as we appreciate that a great deal. I also want to thank those of you that continue to do your homework, sending me show suggestions. And I think it's interesting, the longer I prolong the exercise, the more intense it's getting. And what's really nice for me is I'm hearing from regular listeners that I've never heard from before. What am I talking about? I'd given some homework a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago. And simply said, what would you like us to cover on the show moving forward post-election? It's that simple. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And we're going to do this through the show tomorrow. On Thursday, I'll walk you through what some of the common threads were. And there certainly is a pattern building. So if you'd like to continue to do that, send me stuff. Feel free to do that. I don't care what it is, whether it's personal or global. And anything in between, you are welcome to submit your ideas to me. Taking a look at what's on our slate today in the 7 o'clock hour, Shatan Berry will join us. She is the president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association, or PTA. She's responding to Senate Bill 620, which has to do with what's called parent trigger legislation. And although they are all for accountability, they are not for the kind of accountability that SB 620 calls for. We'll walk you through that. Ed McNeil from AFSCME Council 25 will join us. He finds it a bit interesting and is a bit suspicious that when a decision's made against the city, all of a sudden they claim poverty when it's time to pony up. Is there something more sinister going on here? Well, Ed has some ideas on that, and he'll share them with us in the 7 o'clock hour. Zach Pohl, the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, joins us at 8 o'clock. We're going to take a look at the lame duck session in the state legislature. Jocelyn Benson, Associate Professor of Law at Wayne State University, amongst other titles. She's also the Director of the Michigan Allies Project, is here to continue to talk about a proposal to disband the Secretary of State's office and to profoundly change our election system. And this is a good time to have that conversation. John Filo joins us from the Sugar Law Center. John he's just a great guy. They've got a great topic. They've got a great organization, great goals. And we're going to walk through a couple things today that I think you're going to find fascinating. Deetra McBride joins us. She's the president of the Detroit Association of Realtors. Yesterday, saw an article where housing prices in Metro Detroit are continuing to increase. Have we turned the corner? Are we ready to truly appreciate property values that are more in line with what we believe our homes are worth? Well, Deetra will walk us
through all that at 9:30 this or 9:35 this morning. So that gives you a basic idea of what we've got going on. So let's get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is courage. Now, we can define it in a strict sense, and that's fine, or we can define it more loosely. But I think we all know that courage is not an equal opportunity word. Not everybody, honestly, has courage to do what needs to be done. Some people seem to be born with courage. Others work at it. Some avoid it altogether. And sometimes we hide behind words in order to not have to show our backbone, our strengths, or more importantly, our weaknesses. The real benefit to having courage, and I think that there is a definite correlation between courage and risk, but one of the benefits to showing courage, whether you're standing up for an issue or standing up for yourselves or a family member, it is about making yourself vulnerable, but having the confidence to know you are doing the correct thing. Courage is something that can be spurned on by a multitude of reasons. It may be because you were pushed. It may be because you're particularly passionate about something. It may be an instantaneous thing. You didn't even see it coming. It happens. You defend yourself, a position, somebody that's defenseless, and all of a sudden you are labeled as being courageous. That's not a bad thing. In that scenario, then you've earned it. And you've earned it. Now, listen, is there a difference between courage and stupidity? Why would I even say that? Well, there are people that believe they're being courageous when what they're really being are sheep, being followed, being dragged, being pulled along by their nose because somebody told them they needed to do something. What was that something? Doesn't matter. Somebody told them to do it, they do it. To me, that's not courage. To me, that's just blind faith, and blind faith is never a smart process. I can assure you, in my world, that is extremely true. But this idea that we have courage and it comes from within is true. And whether you think you have it or not, well, you might not know until you're pushed to the end, or you may actually be planning to use it. Either way, courage is a beautiful thing, something you should embrace, and something you should actually exercise. All right. Today's first word is courage.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And Wes, blah, 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 because there's nothing good today. Good morning, eh? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
0-8.
Yep.
0-8.
Yep.
Detroit Pistons, 0-8.
We almost won.
That almost doesn't count.
Yeah, I know. I didn't watch it, but I seen Oklahoma City at 30 on the fourth, so I assume we blew some sort of lead.
It just doesn't seem to be getting better for them. And you know what? You can learn to win. You can also learn to lose. And I think that they're in the learning to lose category pretty entrenched. I don't know at this point what they can do except go out there and continue to play hard. I don't know. I'm at a loss here.
Yeah, it has to be extremely frustrating to go out there every night and not being able to get that first win.
Well, I don't know, and I'm sure they're nowhere near a record at this point. I'm sure that there are teams that went more than 8 games into a season without winning. Of course, we'll find out if they approach that record because that will be sadly newsworthy, but there's nothing else newsworthy coming from this team. Nobody's stepping up. There's no superstar. I don't know. We're just not seeing anything. Sure, they almost won. Wow. You know, at the end of the day, it's about defense or the lack thereof.
and offense, or the lack thereof, and you just kind of got to roll with it because there's nothing that can be done except to continue to play, right?
Yeah, whatever motivational speech you want to give them.
Yeah, I just don't know what to say. I mean, they're 0-8. You can't put a positive spin on 0-8. You can't say, well, you know, they came within 2 points of beating a really good team. Okay. But they didn't win. And when you're 0-8 or 0-7, looking at 0-8, now they're 0-8 staring 0-9 in the face. I think if you're Tom Gores, you have to be asking yourselves, and I did this because don't know the answer to that. Don't know the answer to that. And that, you know, there's really nothing else going on in sports. That's it. When are they going to name the Triple Crown winner?
They named the Triple Crown winner.
I'm sorry, not the Triple, the MVP.
I believe that is Thursday. The Cy Young should be Wednesday. Yesterday was Rookie of the Year, I believe.
Who do you think is going to win the Cy Young?
I didn't really think Verlander was a serious consideration, but I guess he is the front runner. I'm guessing Verlander is going to win it, but David Price from Tampa Bay, I guess, is the other option besides Verlander.
Really? Well, that's interesting. All right, and there's still a lot of speculation as to whether or not Miguel Cabrera will win the MVP.
Win the MVP.
I would think so. That just makes total sense to me, but that's me. Then I'm a Tiger fan, but whatever. All right, well, that's it for sports, folks. There's really nothing going on in the world of sports. Nothing coming out of the world of hockey. I will say it's about 105 degrees in this studio, and as soon as we get to break, I'm going to have to go turn the air on. It's hotter than Hades in here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We are always open lines in the first hour, so if there's something on your mind, I need to hear from you. 888-552-3595. It doesn't take courage to call me. Even if you're a conservative, just be respectful and be willing to have an open and honest discussion. I guess there is reason to have courage. All right, let's take a quick break. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. A quick break. We'll be back.
Any of you guys vote Republican? I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
So far, no problems on your drive. Just following road construction. Wilbert Avenue, north and south between 8 Mile and Big Beaver. Starting at 9 a.m., watch out for moving lane closures. 96 westbound at Kent Lake Road, single lane closure starting at 7 a.m. And on Telegraph Road, southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The one and only Honey Baked. Only Honey Baked fire glazes, slow smokes, and hand finishes each and every ham and turkey breast. Unwrap a Honey Baked Thanksgiving ham or turkey, and you'll taste why it's the only one for your family Thanksgiving. For a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy, and it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
6:22 on this Tuesday, the 13th of November. Pleasure to be with you. We are now 1 week post-election, and that's a good thing. Time to move on. Have the courage to do what we need to do. Well, we are going to go to the phones. You've got the number. Feel free to give us a call as we welcome Richard in Madison Heights. Richard, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you.
Hi, Tony. I've called you before, and we've always got along fine. But I want to challenge you today.
Okay.
On Proposition 6. When, not if, but when the next bridge between Canada and the United States is built, the workers probably will be represented by the Teamsters Union. And it's going to be a six-lane bridge rather than a four-lane, as the ambassador is. And so that'll mean more Teamster Union members working on bridges. Now, what I want to know is, since the head of the union local at Ambassador said, well, we're voting yes because Manny Maruna's a good employer in terms of wages and benefits. I take that to be rather cowardly, and I mean, if he's so good, why be afraid to vote no? And that International Union backed up the local.
Well, Richard, let me share with you that, you know, the reason the Teamsters were supporting Proposal 6 is because Matty Maroon says that if he builds the bridge, that he will make sure that it's done with union labor, and that once it is built, that he will allow, again, the Teamsters to represent his workers. The state of Michigan, or more specifically Governor Snyder, will not make that same commitment, and in fact won't even have that same discussion. So it is, yeah, is it self-serving? Yeah, but and for good reason, not for a bad reason, Richard. I don't think it's cowardice.
I want to ask you something.
Sure.
Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, although it's a potential criticism. Does the Teamsters Union sponsor your program?
Absolutely. I've been very clear about that.
Okay. So when you said I voted yes because, you said rather glibly, because there's going to be a lawsuit either way, whether the proposal passed or not. If the proposal had passed, it'd just be an extra lawsuit, an extra block. And don't you think there's a need for a second bridge?
Absolutely, and I want to see it built. And if it's going to be built through the government, then let's get it on. Let's do it now. I'm ready for that. If it's
then what?
Why
did you vote yes?
Oh, I explained that, but I'll explain it again, Richard. The reason is because the governor will not commit to using American steel, using American union workers, all of the things that I care about. The governor will not guarantee that. Not to mention the fact that the governor has still not addressed what happens to the people that are living in Delray. The Maroon family is ready to do that, or whoever builds that bridge. But all Proposal 6 would have done, Richard, was given the people a right to decide whether or not we want to build the bridge. That's all it would have done. But it doesn't matter because it didn't pass. So this is kind of a moot point, and it has nothing to do with the Teamsters supporting my program. I said I was personally voting yes on 6, but I also told this audience, vote your conscience. Now, there were a lot of people that disagreed with me on that either called here or wrote me and told me they thought I was out of my mind. They had a right to do that.
Well, I attended for years a meeting, meetings at Southwestern High School on 4th Street in Detroit, that the federal government required that were run by MDOT. And so I heard the opinions of real Delrayers. And MDOT, I think, did rather well in trying to address their needs, people's concerns. And in this country, there's a government. We elect federal and state people in the lower and upper house of both units of government, and they decide. That is to say, there isn't a vote every time a local bridge or road is being built. I don't see why a bridge, just because it's to Canada, should be an exception. Don't you think that's contradictory?
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure what the question is, Richard. I do, though, want to thank you for your call. I think that, you know, the bottom line is, we need to build a bridge. We need to take care of the people of the Delray community, Southwest Detroit. We need to get this resolved. We need to move forward. Proposal 6 did not pass. The Maroon family, and Joe will attest to this, we talked about it yesterday. We are reaching out to Dan Stamper, who's the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company. We are going to invite him on the show to talk about what they believe they have a right to do. They believe they have a right to build this bridge. Dan and I had a private conversation before I had him on as a guest. And he told me that they believe they have a legal right to build this bridge. And they do have a very special self-interest. If anybody saw a flashpoint on Sunday, Stephen Henderson had made a point that I was not aware of. He had said, and I just want you to consider this, take it any way you want to, but he had said that there is a problem. And he understood where the Maroon family was coming from in this way. There is a problem with the government competing with private industry. And that is what is happening here. The government will be competing with private industry. And that when you do that, you should be appropriately compensated. Everybody on that panel agreed that there was some legitimacy to Stephen's argument that, and perhaps Stephen and I will talk about this tomorrow, but there was some legitimacy to that argument that when the government becomes a direct competitor to private business, it is an issue and that private business needs to be compensated in some way. I get that. And I hope that all of you get that as well. Richard, I don't think that you are suggesting that I some way was taking a positive position on six because of the Teamsters support. This was my personal opinion, and I was very clear to say on the air, that I wanted people to vote their conscience on that. All of the issues. I told you how many times on all the props, do what you feel is best. All right, a quick break here. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Richard, thanks for the call. We'll take the break. First shift continues on 1310 WDTW right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
So far, no problems on your drive. Just following road construction. Wilbert Avenue, north and south between 8 Mile and Big Beaver. Starting at 9 a.m., watch out for moving lane closures. 96 westbound at Kent Lake Road, single lane closure starting at 7 a.m. And on Telegraph Road, southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The one and only Honey Baked. There's no taste like Honey Baked for Thanksgiving. And there's no savings like $7 off your Honey Baked ham when you sign up to become a VIP. Only Honey Baked ham is fire glazed, slow smoked, then hand finished one at a time. For your $7 coupon, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Not bothering to vote is deplorable, but preventing others from voting is disgraceful and disgusting. Yet, voter suppression has become an acceptable, routine, and widespread political tactic of Republican officials, operatives, and funders. This year, the vile nasties of suppression were in full howl in such key states as Florida, Ohio, and Wisconsin, telling lies and twisting the rules to deter minorities and other likely Democratic voters from casting ballots. Voter fraud is a felony, screeched 140 billboards strategically placed in inner-city neighborhoods of Ohio and Wisconsin. They pictured a judge's gavel slamming down, along with this message, 3.5 years and $10,000 fine. Subtle, huh? The ads had no disclosure of who paid for them. When told they'd have to own up to their sponsorship, the cowardly suppressors chose instead to have the billboards taken down. Well, they can run, but they can't hide. The Einhorn Family Foundation of Milwaukee was behind this nastiness. It's the right-wing plaything of the billionaire Einhorn family, venture capital hucksters who use their fortune to back right-wing politicians and, get this, to, quote, promote liberty. Then there are sorry public officials like Florida Governor Rick Scott, who rig election rules to make voting hard to impossible for many Democrats. This year, he slashed the days for early voting almost in half, had thousands of unsuspecting voters purged from the rolls, and refused to alleviate nightmarish wait times of 3 to 9 hours at some Democratic polling places. But, declared this cynical scoundrel, I want everybody to get out to vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, and I want political thugs like him to get out of the way of our democracy. To help, connect with the Brennan Center for Justice at www.brennancenter.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show, and Tony.
Welcome back. Give us a call. I've got to tell you that there are a couple of things going on within the Republican Party, nationally, locally, statewide, and there are a couple different paths. So we talk about courage in our first word segment today. I don't think Republicans understand the definition of the word courage, but we'll let that go to the wayside for just a moment. But let's talk about their peculiar behavior since they lost the election of the presidency just a week ago today. And it seems to me that they are, of course, in search of redefining themselves. But in the process of doing that, you have to stay relevant. And I don't know that they know how to do that. Now, we're going to walk through a couple scenarios. But there is, and I mentioned this yesterday, there is a narrative building amongst the underclass of the Republican Party. I'm talking about people of our ilk that happen to be R's, not D's. And they're all delivering a carefully orchestrated and designed message that the takers won the election. The givers lost, the takers won, and that the people that won on election day are the people that are always looking to take from the government. And that's what they want from the government is stuff, and that Obama is their Santa Claus. Of course, it's a narrative. It's not based in reality, and it doesn't take courage to lie. It just takes stupidity. And the Republicans really do a masterful job at lying. They've always been very good at lying, and they continue to do that. There's no question that is clear, and certainly we're going to out them for their dastardly deeds. That's fine. I can deal with that. The other thing that's going on here is that they understand, and they clearly understand this. You all saw the thing, those of you that are on Facebook saw the graphic I posted yesterday after the show that showed the percentage of different constituencies and how they voted for President Obama. It's telling in its own way, and I'll let it tell its own story. It's called the Obama Coalition. You'll see it if you go to our Facebook page. But so the other thing that's happening here is the Republicans realizing that, you know, they need to start building or rebuilding their brand. They have to start redefining themselves. So that's not a quick process. You don't just do that by changing, as they are, their position on immigration. And they are changing their position on immigration. All of a sudden, immigration reform is palatable. And the reason that this is an issue that is palatable to them is because it ultimately will get them votes. There are people that are involved in the immigration reform movement that would be Republicans if Republicans showed some compassion, not courage, compassion, toward immigration issues. Now, it's our reality. We do have to deal with it. We can't put it off any longer. So the Republicans aren't really doing anything that naturally wasn't going to happen anyway. It's really not an economic issue, so they don't have to say, well, it's going to cost us X amount of dollars if we do this. So they don't have to hang their hat on that. It is a big sweeping move. And we talked yesterday again briefly about the Chuck Schumer I forgot the Republican.
Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, thank you, that are putting together this bipartisan legislation on immigration reform. I did go look at what they're proposing, and it's not there. It's not going to pass in its current form, but that's okay. It's the beginning of the conversation. But so now all of a sudden the Republicans are seeing the light. Mitch McConnell says that, you know, he's now looking at this compromise the president is offering. One of the realities of an election, and there was a mandate, although the Republicans will absolutely not say those words out loud. There is a mandate, and that mandate was clear. America is progressive, and they want progressive choice and progressive policy, and they want leaders that have the courage to craft that progressive voice and that progressive policy. Create and turn that into law and profoundly begin to change the American mindset on what it means to be progressive. It's working, and it's working because we just reelected a progressive president, not as progressive as I would like him to be, but a progressive president who is mired in a bad economy. And I think the one thing the American people clearly saw was that President Obama was literally being battered and beaten by the Republican Party, who is, again, the grand obstructionist party. They were just obstructing what it was the president had as a vision for this country. You don't have to agree with me, but it's based in reality. It's based in fact. It was, you know, Mitch McConnell that came out and said number one priority after the first election was to make sure Obama was a one-term guy. Well, he lost on that, and all of a sudden now he's switching his opinion. I want to go to some audio from the Ed Show, where he talks about the Republicans. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Just listen to what Ed Schultz had to say yesterday on MSNBC last night, and then I've got some more comments after that.
More bad news for Republicans this week. Their history of obstruction is coming back to haunt them. President Obama made it clear Friday that he will insist on getting rid of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy in a new economic plan. Congressional Republicans are playing tough in public. Instead of tax increases on the rich, they're pushing nonspecific tax reform.
It's clear that there are a lot of special interest loopholes in the tax code, both corporate and personal.
We can increase revenue without increasing the tax rates on anybody in this country. We can lower the rates, broaden the base.
Eliminate all of these tax credits and tax deductions. You can generate somewhere $1 to $1.2 trillion in additional revenue. You can actually lower tax rates by doing that.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor put all the talking points together in a letter to Republicans. What would be best is a fundamental reform of the tax code that lowers rates, broadens the base, makes America's businesses competitive again. Let's see here now. Lowering rates, broadening the base, ending loopholes and deductions. Where have we heard all this before?
If we limit or eliminate some of the loopholes and deductions at the high end, putting a limit on deductions and exemptions, particularly for people at the high end.
Bring down rates, broaden the base, simplify the code, and create incentives for growth.
I mean, they got the same talking points. Nothing's changed. This plan wasn't good enough to get Mitt Romney elected president, but Republicans are still selling it hard, aren't they? At least this is what they've been selling in public. Now, behind closed doors, it's a little different story. House Speaker John Boehner doesn't have the leverage he used to have. On a conference call with House Republicans, Boehner asked members to fall in line. According to the New York Times, Boehner told House Republicans they had to avoid the nasty showdowns that marked so much of the last 2 years. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell was the number one obstructionist in the president's first term. Now he tells the Wall Street Journal that he'll do whatever it takes to get a deal. I'd be willing to pay the ransom of high taxes if I thought we were going to get the hostage out. McConnell's hostage is what? Entitlement spending. The Wall Street Journal confirmed McConnell's intention. He's willing to agree to a dollar of new taxes for every dollar in cuts. Just to bring everybody up to speed, remember in 2011, Republicans would not take a 10-to-1 tax cut deal. Now today, Mitch McConnell is willing to do a 1-to-1 tax cut deal. Republicans lost all of their leverage in this election. They made a big gamble and came up empty-handed.
And now they're searching for relevancy. And I don't know that this is what happens. We do understand that some kind of deal will have to be brokered between now and the end of the year. We do know that the Bush tax cuts are set to expire. We do know that the middle class tax cuts are set to expire. And what the president is asking for was quite simple, that there would be a very modest increase in taxes for those making $250,000 a year or more. A very modest increase. No, it doesn't eliminate the debt, but it does increase the revenue. If we can at that point then stimulate the economy to the point where we can start investing in programs, technologies, jobs, we further then bring down the tax burden. The more we are, the closer we are to a true full jobs market, which, by the way, is a misnomer. We're never going to be at peak jobs. It's just not going to happen. But that's okay. It's not supposed to happen. We're never supposed to be at 100% job saturation, folks. It's not the way a capitalist market moves. But all that being said, there are now all kinds of proposals being floated out there. There are all kinds of discussions, including one that would raise the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to, get this, $9.80 an hour. The Republicans might think that because they still have the majority, all of these ideas are off the table. But here's the problem with that. America voted, and they voted for change. Yep, they did reelect Republicans, but we've got to factor in one simple reality. Gerrymandering forces people to vote a certain way. And when you are the party that gets to draw the lines, you make sure you get reelected. Oh, sure, they have to throw a bone to the Democrats here and there, and they did. There are some of the safest Democratic seats in the country are literally within the sound of my voice as we speak, for Democrats, that is. But ladies and gentlemen, if you think that the Republicans really have a bargaining chip, you don't understand politics. And I don't think you understand what happened a week ago today. Let's take a break. Much more to get to, and I'll continue with this as well. Would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. I can't believe we're already getting ready to wrap up this first hour of First Shift. Thanks for punching in. Give me a call. We'll be back right after this.
With Tony Trivia.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. Amazing what digs up this fun-loving pup. Sweet, sweet Jack, sweetjack.com.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
junior senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
You know, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. I think that not only do the Republicans have a responsibility to redefine themselves, I believe Democrats have a responsibility to help the Republicans redefine themselves. I think we can assist them in that. Follow us, and we will do you no harm. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Out of my Tuesday morning mind.
There you go.
But anyway, it cracked me up when I heard who's a David Frum talk about the conservative entertainment complex.
Yeah, that was special.
Oh, that was so right on time. And I mean, and Limbaugh looked like he was really hurt by him being blamed for them losing the election. I mean, I said this, and I wrote a letter to either the News or the Free Press. I mean, it didn't get printed, but I said, they're going to have to have one spokesperson for the party, and and it's not going to be Limbaugh and the Hannitys and the Medveds and those of that ilk. Because that's what's happening with the Republican Party. They've let these guys on the radio just go ahead and take over and just run wild with that party.
That's an interesting observation, Tom, because the Democrats wouldn't consider that. Let's take a look at some of the major players in media on the progressive mm-hmm. side. Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Stephanie right. Miller, those folks. And they aren't, certainly they're connected to Democrats, but they're not connected to the Democratic Party. Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, and others, again, are certainly voices of reason and mm-hmm. certainly agree with the positions of most Democrats, but they are not the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and the Glenn Becks and others.
Right.
The Republicans seem to, at least to this point, have embraced conservative media as their, de facto communications arm, where the Democrats would never allow that kind of nonsense.
No, and the Republicans, they're so mean and nasty with that venom that they talk. And I know that after the day after the election, or either maybe that Thursday, it says, where after the loss, where does the GOP go from here? And I said this, that if they keep on going the way they're going to go to oblivion. That's where they're going to go.
Well, they've obviously become irrelevant because they didn't win the White House.
Yeah, yeah, and they didn't win the White House by no short stretch of the imagination. My wife asked me maybe a couple of months ago in terms of, what was my prediction about the about the election. I said it's going to be a blowout. And any time you have someone who has 126 more votes, electoral votes, than you have, than the person that's running against them, to me, that is a blowout.
Well, right? And not to mention, Tom, and thank you for your call, to mention the fact, and this is just a simple fact, that, that Barack Obama won 8 out of the 9 battleground states. So if you have a problem with the word blowout, doesn't matter. He won, and he won convincingly. He did win Florida, which was supposed to go to the Republicans. Apparently, Romney was stunned. The word that was used was shell-shocked when he lost Ohio. Why? You lied in that Jeep ad. People don't vote for liars, Mitt. 888-552-3595. Greg and Warren joins us now. Greg, good morning. Thanks for punching in with us.
Thanks, Tony. I got a quick question. Take the answer off the air. I just wonder if the Democrats now are going to be able to change the rules of the Senate so they don't no longer have to have a supermajority so they can eliminate all those filibusters.
Well, you bet, Greg. Thanks for the call. Yes, I mean, the plan is to do that. Will they garner enough votes? I think if that is a simple majority vote, then yes, they're good. But I read an article just this morning about that very issue, Greg. Perhaps you read it as well. And yes, that is the plan. That is the plan, and let's hope that they do that, because the Republicans have been masterful at using the filibuster. That's why I find it so funny. People say, well, the Democrats haven't done anything. The Republicans block everything. this is going to be a very different second term. And if this president, you know, John Boehner gave that, and we didn't capture the audio, but gave that little speech about we're ready to be led, we want leadership. All right, fine, Mr. Speaker. If that's what you want, then let him lead. Let him lead. And that means you have to get out of the way. You see, not everybody can lead. When you dance, if both partners lead, it's going to look like a jumbled mess, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Let the president lead. Let him lead. And we'll see what happens. Robert Reich was on Current TV on Viewpoint with Elliot Spitzer, and he talked about Republicans with their love of the Norquist. Let's listen to what he had to say. Robert Reich. No? Okay, we'll move on. Okay, don't worry about it. There's going to be this period, and we talk about a lame duck session. I read yesterday that they will most likely get in 16 days between now and the end of their session for the holiday, which is more than I actually thought they would be doing, to be honest with you. I think the 16 days is really quite impressive, if indeed they do that. Now, is this going to be a damage-inducing lame duck session? The one thing the Democrats have to do, the one thing the Democrats have to do is start rattling some cages. They need to grow a set. They need to say, you know what? No, we're not going to vote on this. We're not going to allow you to get away with this. You know, we have our blocks in the Senate. Certainly the president has a veto pen. I don't know how aggressive Republicans will be moving forward, but don't be surprised if they soften, not just on immigration and on debt, but they start softening on many issues because, folks, it's real simple. They're already in reelection mode. I know that's not what you want to hear, but it's the honest to God's truth. They're already in reelection mode for the midterms. And there are a lot of gubernatorial seats up in the next election as well. Republicans have way too much at stake, and they've got to figure out who they are, and they've got to do it quickly, very, very quickly. Listen, white America is no longer the majority in this country. The Republicans learned that in a punishing, brutal way just a couple days ago. Mike in Clawson joins us now. Mike, welcome to First Shift, and good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Tony. How's it going?
Well, thanks. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I've been listening up and on and all the pundits and yourself and everything. And I don't know. I guess I'm still looking at the glass half full. I'm not so sure that as long as the House retains a GOP minority, both in Congress and our state legislature, that these people are going to change. They live in a bubble.
Well, we're going to see what we can do about that. Mike, thanks for your call. Shatan Barry, when we continue with the Michigan PTA, lots to get to. Stay with us.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
You are still accident and slowdown free, but Telegraph Road southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th, so you can expect some delays later on this morning. 75 northbound at 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed at 9 a.m. And a lot southbound near Cobo, the off-ramp to Larner is going to be closing at 9 a.m. today. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy, and it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Back to work in Washington. Congress returns, and topping the agenda, the so-called fiscal cliff of tax hikes and spending cuts set to click in automatically in January unless lawmakers take action. Should only the wealthy pay higher taxes? Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
President Obama was very clear. He spoke about this all of the time. If reelected, he is not going to extend tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires. He was reelected.
There's a new twist to the scandal that cost General David Petraeus his job as CIA chief. NBC's Lynn Berry says another top U.S. general is under investigation.
General John Allen, the top U.S. and NATO commander in Afghanistan, is accused of, quote, inappropriate communications with Jill Kelly, the Florida woman whose complaints of email harassment started the initial investigation.
Petraeus resigned last week, admitting he'd had an extramarital affair. And move over, Hollywood. Microsoft's Halo 4 video game selling up a storm. $220 million in its first day in stores. This is NBC News Radio. How costly was Superstorm Sandy? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo seeking $30 billion in federal aid to deal with heavily damaged areas of New York City and Long Island. He says crews are rushing to restore power in the region.
98-99% of the people who can have their power back do. If you don't have your power back, it probably means power can't be restored to your home at this time.
Meantime, gas rationing comes to an end in New Jersey, but remains in place in New York. Black Friday is expanding again. Toys R Us and Sears, among the retailers planning to open at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Wall Street stock futures lower this morning, and a new study on climate change says that Cup of Joe is in jeopardy. British researchers say 99% of the most popular coffee is grown in areas that could be unsuitable for crops by the year 2080. Will our favorite morning beverage become a has-been? Stay tuned. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far,
while a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther!
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Stock futures are holding firmly in the red as European traders fret over the continent's commitment to give fresh help to Greece and as fiscal cliff worry sinks stocks here. S&P futures down 8 points now. NASDAQ futures losing 15. Dow futures off 56. The man most thought was in line to take over Microsoft after CEO Steve Ballmer will do no such thing. Sinofsky has quit. He's a 23-year Microsoft veteran whose most recent job was running the entire Windows division in spearheading development and launch of Windows 8. Only a couple of weeks after its rollout, bad industry reviews and slow sales have pressured the division and its boss, although no reason is given for Steve Sinofsky's sudden and unexpected departure. 500 people who work for NBC Universal losing their jobs. Reports say the cuts are across all properties, including the TV and cable networks. Many of the cuts coming at the G4 channel following cancellation of programs, including Attack of the Show. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never missed a beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
Nelman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 13th day of November 2012. One of the true blessings of this last year, one of the true blessings, is we have built an open and honest communication superhighway with the Michigan Parent Teacher Association, the Michigan PTA. The reason that I really am cherishing this relationship is that it has allowed us to expand our view of education matters. We certainly are closely aligned and are supported by the Michigan Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers, which are relationships that I appreciate, and certainly we wouldn't be on the air without them. But that is but one side of many issues. The Michigan PTA brings a fresh and sometimes interesting perspective, and they are very thoughtful. And so as we continue to look at issues that matter to us, and many of you know, education is one of my greater priorities, and certainly we can consider it a top three priority. When issues come up, sometimes it's important to get that perspective. And so I cherish and honor, again, the relationship that we have been able to build with the Michigan PTA. Joining me now to talk about one of those issues is Chetan Berry, who is the president of the Michigan PTA. And she joins us once again, and we appreciate her time. Chetan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for having us back, and we truly appreciate this relationship that we've built with your show as well.
Well, you know, I do believe, as I just said in the opening, that you know we do have to look at these issues from multiple perspectives. I certainly have my bias. I'm not, I don't try to hide that, but I also want to tell a full story, Chetan. And let's we're talking about Senate Bill 620, and I think it's important before we get into some of the nitty gritty that we give the audience a little background on what SB 620 is all about. Can you help us out there?
Senate Bill 620 is referred to as a parent trigger bill. And what it does is it gives parents and the community a kind of control over what's happening with these low-performing schools. So it's saying that the community can get together, the parents can say, this isn't working, we want something different. And we applaud that part of the bill. It's getting people engaged, making them understand the educational process, and letting them have a voice. So that is something that we truly applaud about this bill.
Okay, and I think that's important as well. Listen, we all want accountability. We all want transparency. We all want a path to solutions. I think we can agree on that, yes?
Yes.
Does Senate Bill 620 give us all of that?
Not really. It gives a little bit, but we would just like to see some further improvements on that. One of the things, there's a few things that we see wrong or need to be improved with the bill, but the first thing is that this bill allows for parents, 51% of parents can vote to take over a school, or 50% of parents and 60% of teachers can vote to take over a school, and they can either go with one of the turnaround methods that the state already has. One of that could be firing the principal and half of the teachers and putting new people in place, or they can contract with the education management organization, an EMO, to run the school, basically turn the school into a charter school. And but the law doesn't provide or state that they have to, that the EMO, the education management organization, has to be a nonprofit organization, or that it has to be a Michigan-based organization. And so we think that those are two things that need to be there. We don't think that public funding should be going into the corporation should be receiving those funds and being able to run our schools. And the fact that if we're going to go to an EMO, at least make it be one that's here in Michigan to help our own economic recovery.
Well,
to take our dollars out of Michigan makes no sense.
And certainly, right, as a way of background, well, first of all, let me make the comment that we're talking about our tax dollars, number one. But as some background, when they lifted the lid off charter schools, one of the provisions the Democrats tried to place in as an amendment was to make them all not-for-profits. The Republican legislature would absolutely not consider that amendment and dropped it from that legislation. So it is not a surprise that SB 620 would exclude or would not exclude for-profit schools or groups, companies, if you will, because they are businesses at the end of the day, and they are for-profit businesses. Therefore, they need to be profitable as part of their fiduciary responsibility to their board or to their mission statement. With that said, is that the best way to serve our children's educational needs? And I'm guessing the Michigan PTA is saying, no, it's not the best way to serve our children's educational needs.
No, we don't want our schools to be corporations and that it becomes just about a profit, because it should just be about educating children.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the, and I want to read from the press release that you sent me, and I want you to comment on this, Shatan Berry, if you will. The bill as written would set goals of 80% attendance and 80% graduation rate for schools that were taken over under the new law. While we are pleased to see accountability measures included in this bill, we do not feel that these are appropriate. Are they even realistic?
Well, I mean, maybe. But attendance and graduation rates don't show that students are, one, prepared to go to career or college, and I thought that's the goal of everything that we're supposed to be doing, is to make sure that when our kids leave high school, they're prepared for career or college. And it, graduation rates and attendance doesn't mean that. So if I come to school 80% of the time, I should pass.
All right. Well, I get that. I mean, I get that. I just, you know, I'm, and I don't know, and I don't know that you know the answer to this, but as let's just talk about the top 30% of schools. Are they reaching these goals? Do they have 80% attendance? Do they have 80% graduation rates? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that either, but that's something that I will go and begin to research to find out, to see if this is even realistic, to say that those two are a reasonable benchmark to say that a school is achieving.
Well, you know, and I want to underscore something, and I think that you and I will both agree on this, that and we hit on it really just a few minutes ago, but I have no problem with accountability, and I think it's wonderful that parents can have a say in the success or the unsuccess of a particular school. Here's my problem. I was involved, very involved, with the PTA when my kids were younger. Parents don't get engaged. And I'm talking about my issue with this, Shatana, and you know this. In every one of your chapters around the state, you have that core group of moms, mostly moms, some dads, but very few, that show up year after year after year to carry the torch of that parental message. But the reality is, to get 51% of people to do something may not be impossible, but will they be informed? That's always been my concern about this parent trigger legislation, that the majority of people are really going to be sheep, just following the word of somebody that has an agenda.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of scary because, you know, where it started out at in Oakland, California, they had for-profit companies going out into the neighborhoods, into low-income neighborhoods with gas cards and Visa cards and gift cards to get them to sign this petition. And, you know, and I am hoping that we would never have something like that that happens here in Michigan, but the possibility is there. And so we want to make sure that they define who actually can vote. I mean, the other part of it is that with this bill comes seizure of property, taking over property from the school board. I mean, you know, there's a lot of other issues that come with this that we just need some clarity on. We're not saying you're wrong for having this bill, but let's refine it. Let's make it stronger. Let's make it more about educating kids and not about profiting companies.
No, they're fundamentally, I can't imagine that anybody would disagree with anything you just had to say. How close is this bill to passage in the Senate? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it passed in the out of the Senate, and it's in the committee, the Senate Education Committee.
Okay.
So we're expecting that maybe there will be some public hearings on this in the next month.
All right. Well, I don't know if this is something they want to try to get done in their lame duck session or not, but, you know, again, it is incomplete, and I want to make that point. It is incomplete legislation.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the other things that we talked about with accountability is charter school accountability. And we want this to go across not just with these parent trigger schools, but across the board for charter schools, as the bill will require revoking the charter of a parent C school if it's still underperforming after 4 years. And we would like to see the provision applied to all charter schools that time limit is 3 years.
All right. But
if there is no performance in 3 years, to shut the charter school down.
All right. We need to take a quick break. Shatana Berry, stay with us. Shatana Berry, my guest. She is the president of the Michigan Parent Teacher Association. We'll take the quick break here. If you'd like to ring us up, 888-552-3595. We'll be back. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
There's no question about it, Tony. I always enjoy talking with you and meeting with you and sharing ideas. You do a great service to the community, and we're fortunate to have you on the air.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
You're still accident-free, but we have picked up some slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. On 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. And it's slow moving on 94 westbound between Gratiot and Van Dyke. And on eastbound 96 between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest again, Chetan Berry, the president of the Michigan PTA. You're going to find them online at MichiganPTA.org. That's MichiganPTA.org. We're talking about proposed Senate Bill 620, or what is called parent trigger legislation. You know, Chetan, one of the questions, I have a couple big questions. One of them is, as we talk about accountability, and do charter schools have to meet the same burden that public schools do? And I don't believe that they do, and this law does not change that.
No. They don't. I mean, a lot of charter schools, they have the freedom to be innovative, to be different from traditional public schools, and that doesn't always happen. And, you know, I'm not a opponent of charter schools per se, because they're public schools, they receive public funding, so we support public education. However, if the charter school is designed and exists as the same as a traditional public school, then what's the point? The point of charters are to be different so that they can go in and do the things that traditional public schools can't do. And so we need that accountability to be there for charter schools at the same level that it is for public schools. And there are charter schools that are out there doing some great work. So I don't want to make it seem as if they're not, because there are. But we need every charter school to be at that level, as well as every public school to be at that same level, to do great work, educate our children, to make sure that they're career and college ready when they leave out that door after 12th grade.
Well, and Chetan, as you and I both know, not only are not all charter schools better, they're just different, and that doesn't make them better by nature. And again, this doesn't address that. Let's go to the phones quickly and welcome Jeff in White Lake to First Shift. Jeff, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air with Shatan Berry.
Tony, Shatan, thank you. I wanted to ask Shatan if she's heard of SB 1358, which was a bill introduced last week that's going to have the state create a what they call an educational achievement authority, which is going to be an appointed statewide board.
I thought we already had that, Jeff. I thought we already had the educational authority.
Well, it's only in Detroit right now, but 1358 does expand it across the state. And yes, we have been reviewing that bill, and actually my president-elect is going to be at the House Education Committee this afternoon to provide some testimony regarding that bill as well. We have numerous questions and issues with that bill as well. And the first one is that the EAA in Detroit hasn't issued its first semester report cards yet. We don't know if this thing is working. So how can we take it across the state when we don't even know if it's working yet?
I'm sorry, Jeff, I didn't.
Great to hear.
Okay. Did you have any other questions, or was that it?
Well, no, I'm just concerned about it because it also wants to create a statewide reform district, and it's going to, part of the bill is going to require school districts to keep empty buildings up to code and maintain them for 2 years so that the district can open statewide schools in their buildings.
Okay.
And it doesn't say which school will be taken over. So if it's a brand new school that you built in your district and that's the school that they want, the whatever debt is owed on that building will still belong to the school district and not the new EAA.
All right, Jeff, thanks for your call. You know, Shatan, as I'm sitting here, you know, what the image that comes to mind is driving through a collision course with no light. Well, you know, it seems to me that we're making decisions based on philosophy, not on reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of strange to me to see that we have legislation in place, especially to expand the EAA when there hasn't been 6 months of the EAA yet. And if we're going to say that we're about data and we want to see proof and we want to make sure things work, I don't see the point of rushing into creating a statewide version of the EAA when we don't know if it's working or will work in the Detroit area.
Well, you know, even if you had a report card, even if you had a whole semester, is one enough? Is 1 year enough? Is 2 years enough? I think that, you know, you need to be much more deliberate in evaluating whether or not something works, and what may show progress in 1 year may not show progress after two. I mean, I think we should be more deliberate, don't you?
Yes, I think that we need to slow down and not just pass things and put them in legislation just because. Let's really sit down and think about what ways will it help us improve education across this state. There's none of us who can say that we don't need some education reform, but do we need this much reform, this fast, this quick, right now? I'm not sure that that's the correct answer.
Well, and I would, of course, fundamentally have to agree with that. And it just seems, you know, it seems to me, we go back to this charter school issue. We don't know that charter schools are working, and they've been around a while. We know some of them work better than others. Some of them have been successful. Some of them have been profound failures. And so in order to correct what is perceived to be a problem, and I'm not suggesting that there aren't public schools that are that are in need, that couldn't use reform, that you know, are not serving our children well. I'm not suggesting that's not happening. At the same time, is the fix, and I think it's a fallacy, is the fix just turning it over to an educational for-profit institution and expecting things are going to change that quickly? Because that I don't think that fundamentally deals with the base issues of why a school system fails.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that no one can deny that we need some reform. No one can deny that there are school districts, there are schools, public schools and charter schools that are not doing the absolute best for our children. But let's work on a solution with everybody at the table and figure out how we can make this thing work.
And, you know, the and of course, Michigan PTA is all about family engagement, and that's not there in this bill.
Well, that,
so you have a, you know, you have parents that can take over a school, and then there's nothing else in the bill that says, so we'll use these parents to do this.
Well, that's the point. Even if you get the necessary votes, then what? I mean, seriously, then what? How do we measure? How do we weigh? How do we begin the process of healing? And when, you know, we were talking about the 3 years or the 4 years, you know, this becomes quite a complicated equation. And then, of course, it takes, you know, charter schools aren't held to the same standard. And not only that, they're not held to the same rules. So there may be, the parents may be able to make this change, but how much of a voice do they have once that change is made? There's just so much we don't know.
Yeah, and so this is the thing that, you know, one of the things that we as Michigan PTA are trying to do is to educate parents, community members about the issues that happen in Lansing, what takes place in Lansing affects them at their home. And I think that's the connection that people don't make. When these type of decisions are made, when these type of laws are passed, it affects you at your address where you live.
Absolutely.
Whether you live close to a school or whether you have school-age children or not, it affects you. And so,
absolutely. Shatan, I don't mean to interrupt you. We're just out of time, but I'm sure we'll be revisiting this. Thanks so much. We've got to get a break. Ed McNeil from AFSCME when we continue.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to 275 northbound just after Ford Road. An accident has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Cherry Hill. On 696 westbound between Van Dyke and 75, slow traffic there. And it's slow moving on 75 southbound between Rochester Road and 8 Mile, and tapping the brakes on M53 southbound between Hall Road and Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy, and it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Teachers, parents, and students in Chicago rallied and marched on Veterans Day against school closings and corporate welfare. The Chicago Teachers Union was joined by community activists and the school closings 10. Activists arrested at City Hall for seeking a meeting with the mayor to ask for more resources for Chicago's public school students. The action protested what CTU Vice President Jesse Sharkey says is the stripping away of school resources to further line the pockets of fat cats. CTU says the coming school closings could displace thousands of low-income students and educators, while the city continues to reward politically connected fat cats with public dollars in the form of tax increment financing schemes to create privately managed, publicly funded charter schools. The AFL-CIO says it's time for the country to come together around shared beliefs that working families need more economic security, not less, and the wealthy need to pay their fair share. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the lame duck session of Congress is an opportunity to move forward in the manner that working people overwhelmingly supported in the election last week. And the Labor Federation says that means no more failed Bush tax cut handouts for the richest 2% and no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Forward, the AFL-CIO says, means finding responsible ways to rebuild America. Trumka says labor agrees with President Obama. Our job now is to get a majority in Congress to reflect the will of the American people. Hostess alleges a strike by bakery workers could force liquidation. Jesse Russell reports.
Hostess Brands is threatening to start shuttering plants if striking workers don't return to the production lines. 23 of the company's 36 plants had been hit by strike actions as of Monday morning. The strike is being waged by members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union and follows months of negotiations as the company seeks to find the path out of bankruptcy. As of Monday, deliveries were still being made due to the Teamsters being unclear if their contracts, reached in September, allows for crossing of picket lines. The company made a contract proposal that 92% of the bakery workers chose to vote down. According to the union, the contract proposal sought wage and benefit cuts that would have amounted to between 27 and 32% for the average worker. This is the second time since 2004 that Hostess has faced bankruptcy. The union said that since that first bankruptcy, they've watched as the CEO and other top executives received massive raises and bonuses.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the OPEIU, Office and Professional Employees International Union, and from the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Words matter. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock, words matter. Story circulating this morning and actually began last night that the city of Detroit is going broke. Before I get to my guest, I want to share some audio with you from WDIV Channel 4.
Detroit running out of cash, bordering on broke. And now Local 4 has learned the city could be in the red by Christmas. And that grim news has been delivered to the board overseeing the city's failing finances.
And it tops Local 4 News at 11. The problems now, the rising cost of health care and no extra money coming in to pay for it. Let's get to Mara McDonald, who is live downtown tonight. Mara, some would say this feels pretty familiar. We've seen a cash crisis before.
We sure have, Devin. And like the last one, I think that we're going to be able to avoid short-term insolvency. At least that's the word we're getting from the administration tonight. The real issue becomes, what in the world happens here in the long term?
That there is a cash flow crisis in the city of Detroit tonight is indisputable. That said, the city's program management director, Chris Andrews, says it can be handled.
We're going to work through that. We're going to solve the problem for the summer.
While the city's code red financial situation is looming short term, it's the long term that needs to be dealt with here. And it's not being done speedily enough, at least according to the Financial Advisory Board overseeing Detroit. In the background to all this financial drama is another one. Since voters rejected Proposal 1, the Emergency Financial Manager Law, the city's top lawyer, at the request of the city council, will give an opinion on how and whether Detroit needs to continue with the consent agreement with the state. The attorney general and the governor say yes. We'll see what the city's corporation council comes up with. For now, Chris Andrews says his eyes remain on the city's bottom line.
We need to move forward with the reform agenda. We need to do the things that make city government more efficient, less costly, and more effective.
Back here live. So where does that short-term money come from? We are told bond proceeds being held in escrow in Lansing. We are live downtown tonight. Mara McDonald, Local 4.
All right. Let me turn my attention now to my friend Ed McNeil. Ed is the special assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25. And if you'll recall, the last time Ed was with us, they actually have the solution to a lot of these problems and have been roundly ignored. Ed, welcome back to First Shift.
Good morning, Tony, and thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, you heard that audio, Ed. Can we tear this apart a little bit? Are they making much ado about nothing, or is there a serious problem that changes the way we need to look at the relationship with the city?
Yeah, well, they're making much to do about nothing again. If you recall, Tony, when I was on before, I talked to you and the citizens and brought the information to them and told them that, number one, this is probably the fifth time, and as a matter of fact, I went back through my records to look at it. This is the fifth time they've cried wolf. And they cry wolf every time that they don't get their way. They go back and say, well, the city's running out of cash. And that's what we hear again. You have irresponsible people that's dealing with the city of Detroit. Irresponsible, I mean, by the state as well as the mayor and some of the city council folks who agreed to bring these folks in. You know, if you recall, we specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year. And we ratified this agreement in March. So they could have put this agreement in place that the union said did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. that they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit. They talk about the health care issue. Let me just read you something. It says a citywide communication to all City of Detroit employees from Lamont Satcher, Labor Relations Director, dated November the 9th, 2012, regarding open enrollment alert. City of Detroit open enrollment materials will be mailed during the week of November the 19th, 2012. Information related to open enrollment beginning and ending dates, health care plan changes, race, and vendor informational meetings will be included in the open enrollment package. Please watch your mail for these materials and review them carefully. Now, if you recall what you just talked about and what they said and what the papers have reported is, they're saying that the Ving administration implemented this stuff in July. Well, they're lying. Here's the same old rhetoric again. And if they had put in place what the unions had negotiated back in February, you wouldn't even be in this situation. They have not implemented any. They're just not getting ready to do open enrollment. November the 19th. They're just getting ready to do it.
And why do they continue to ignore? Well, here, let me ask this question a little differently. Why does the media continue to ignore the truth?
Well, the media keep ignoring the truth because I think, Tony, the whole game plan is, and you can see this in part of this other piece that the media put in, and this has happened before that, is that what they want to do is privatize the whole city of Detroit, get rid of all city employees and privatize it. That's part of what this consent agreement does. It gives them a way to get rid of all of the folks, all of the unionized contracts and all the unionized folks, and just privatize. Here's what they said again in this. As you know, they did the $137 million bond. So that's in Lansing. Dillon says, hey, guess what? I'm not going to give it to you unless you do certain things that I want you to do. Now, here's what they want them to do now. They said, hey, we'll give you $10 million in the next week, but what you got to do is you got to renew a one-year contract with Ernest & Young. Well, let's think about that. Ernest & Young is the third person who was at the bargaining table with us who came up with the money to save $180.2 million a year annually, and guess what they did? The governor and them said, and Andy Dunn and them, they said, don't approve them contracts. Now they're coming back telling the city council, hey, you need to extend their contract from another year. This is the same people that they rejected. They rejected our contract. Now they want to extend it for a year. The second thing they're saying is that you need to do a contract with Miller Canfield Law Firm. Well, what has that got to do with anything? And they're going to do that, release it. They'll release the other $20 million by December the 14th. So they got a gun to the city of Detroit's head saying, hey, you need to do this that I want you to do and do this that I want you to do, and then I'll release some more money. But more importantly, that the folks ought to understand is that there's no kind of way in heck that the city of Detroit should be in any kind of financial situation had they put the things in place.
Well, you know, they've ignored AFSCME, and they've ignored your recommendations. In fact, it's almost, Ed McNeil, like they won't look in your direction, because if they do, then they have to recognize you exist. The problem is you came up with a proactive plan at AFSCME. You certainly showed them how they could save millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And yet, when you read the article that I have in front of me from the Free Press, or you listen to that audio we just heard from Channel 4, WDIV, they act as if this is dyed-in-the-wool true, that there's absolutely no room to disagree with them, and that everybody agrees. Well, Ed, everybody doesn't agree.
Well, the other thing, Tony, is listen to what they've been doing. Last month, in the 1st of October, I was at a city council meeting, and guess what they were doing? Everybody knows because it was in the newspaper. They were trying to say, hey, give us bailout, we can fix bailout. And I'll give council credit to him raising an issue that says, hey, the island ain't falling into the water, and I'm quoting right from the article. Says the island ain't falling into the water. King Conqueror also said that, why are we working about bailout? What's happened to the Annex B? Why haven't we put these other things in place that we have? They told them at that point, hey, we got that. No, there's no worry. Everything is on course. We don't have nothing to worry. And if you recall, Annex B, those things that they put in Annex B were the things that we negotiated that says, here's what fixed the city. You could collect the taxes on time. We had revenue programs to bring in money. We had parking fees of $40 million, code violations over $70 million, income tax, we said about $236 million, property tax $45 million. There was a way to do all this, but they're playing this game. So now they're telling you, well, you know what? Things aren't moving like they're supposed to do. The revenue ain't coming in like it's supposed to because you haven't did anything that we put that we told you that you should do, period. Had they done anything that we've told them to do, the city would not be in the shape that it is. But it's all a game for them to say, we want total control of the city, and we don't want any unions involved in anywhere. We want to privatize everything because the other thing they're saying is we want to give this thing to Ernest Young. We want you to contract and outsource the payroll operations in the city of Detroit. They want to hire a friend to hire a company to deal with workers' compensation. They tried to bring in this Institute for Population Health and the Health Department, where we busted them, and that's exactly what it is, stealing over $50,000 to take it from the city of Detroit and put it in this 501c3 company that was started by the director and a former employee of the state of Michigan in health, that they started their own company. And so all of this stuff is just charades. There needs to be a federal investigation done. They need to come into the city of Detroit and deal with this on a federal end and get all this corruption out. The mayor needs to go. He needs to go out, should have been gone, because this is just ludicrous for taxpayers or anybody else to have to deal with this shenanigans. They're just playing with people's lives in the city of Detroit and in the state of Michigan for no other reason but for their own self-help.
All right, Ed, we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, though, because when we come back, I want to address what I believe is corruption in the city of Detroit. I believe that the mayor is paying back political favors. I believe he's in the back pocket of Governor Rick Snyder. And I agree with you more than anything. They want to privatize the city. They want to bust the unions. And they've got to stop using AFSCME as their scapegoat. We're going to take the break here. But we've got a lot to do. Ed McNeil, Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25. He'll be back with us when we continue.
Recently on First Shift.
I proudly believe that the people of the great state of Michigan, every working family in this state, deserves better than they're getting. I'm never going to apologize for that.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, Ed McNeil, the special assistant to President L. Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, is my guest. I want to remind you that AFSCME came up with a proactive plan that would have made the city solvent. Made the city solvent. He appeared on this show, spent an hour walking us through it. He did a series of town hall meetings explaining to the citizens of Detroit and anybody else that wanted to listen how to work through this. Mayor Dave Bing obviously has a different agenda. He wants to break the union, specifically AFSCME. He wants to make sure that he pays back his political favors, especially to the governor. Mayor Dave Bing is no more a Democrat than I am a black man. I'm telling you right now, if we do not stop this man from raping the city of its precious, loyal workers, and that's what he's doing, he's committing rape, the city of Detroit will crash and burn before we get him out of office. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony.
I've had enough, Ed. I've had enough. And it's just wrong to use. Listen, I want to remind this audience, Ed, you now have members that make so little money they qualify for food stamps. That's unconscionable.
Well, we've been telling them that. And, Tony, what you're looking at is with these rates that they're talking about instituting, people that were formerly paying $39, as I've been looking at, are now going to be required to pay in excess of $92 every 2 weeks. So it's going to go from approximately $33 to $92 every 2 weeks. That's an increase of $60-some out of people's already small paychecks that they don't receive at this point. And again, it's all for naught because the health care plan, Tony, that we had in place, would have saved the city, over $60-some million, close to $68 million. The health care plan that we had would have saved the city over $68 million. They didn't take that. We brought this before. We brought it to city council. We brought the healthcare company in. They did the numbers. They did the numbers against the Blues numbers. The Blues numbers the Blues couldn't match their numbers. Blues tried to match them. They couldn't match their numbers or whatever. Everything was set in place. Only thing was happening was to approve the contracts to put this in place. $19 million a year in savings directly from that. But with all the other unions, you had a total of $60 million in savings in health care alone. And they didn't do it. So it's not about fixing the city. It's not about fixing the finances. It's just corruption at its best. Again, when I said that what happened at Population Health for them to form this private company and take the director of the health department and the former deputy director of health in the state of Michigan to form their own company, and then they took over $50 million of the city's money and put it in this company where they had no employees whatsoever. Now, Tony, since I was on this show, we went to court, and the court gave us expedited arbitration on their case. The arbitrators came in and said, hey, City of Detroit, you can't do that. In fact, from September 26th, when they laid all them people off, they said, hey, you got to bring them back, and you got to pay them back pay and full benefits for those people. So I'm saying what they're doing is they just destroying the City of Detroit. The next thing they went through with this towing company. They were going to bring this towing company in that was from San Francisco. And this was a company that Davis Baker Lewis, who's the Director of Workforce Development, was involved with in 2010. They were going to bring them in to do the touring for the city of Detroit at a greater cost. So all this is corruption and corruption and corruption at its best. That's all they're doing. They're taking away the city. They want to privatize things and bring in their own people and give it to them, give the work to them. That's what this is all about.
Well, and Ed, you know,
it's about repairing the city of Detroit.
Absolutely. And of course, in the process, you know, their threat, and let me read the threat directly, that without a fix, according to Detroit Free Press, the city would see payless paydays, furloughs, and unpaid vendors. Well, that's because that's what they want to see. This is a choice, Ed. They're not making the right choice.
That's right. And we're saying that we showed them how to do it. And they didn't like it. I guess the state didn't like it because union folks who've been looking at the city books, who've been looking at the city of Detroit, said, guess what? First place management, you don't know what you're doing. You all have been screwing this stuff up. You need to sit back and let us show you how to fix this city. And that's what we sat down and did. We sat down and went through each department, came up with how to do amnesty programs. We came in and said, hey, here's how you fix this. Here's how you bring back in income tax, because they weren't collecting all the income taxes that they should have been collecting in the city of Detroit. They had over 60,000 partials that were done. We said, guess what? Take those and give them to the people at $50 a pop to put them back on the tax roll. No, did they do that? No, they didn't do that either. So when you talk about an influx of revenue, we had multi things that would bring influx of revenue to the city of Detroit, where the city of Detroit, that when we looked at this thing, and Ernest and Young agreed with us when we did this, agreed that the city would be fixed in 3 years. They agreed with us then that the city would be fixing it. Now, this is the same company that they're now saying that the state is saying, hey, you got to extend their contract for another year. But they're the ones who projected that the city would be in good health based on the contract that the union did with the city, would be in good health and financial stability in 3 years. But they didn't take that advice. But now they're saying, hey, you got to renew that contract with them and give them some more money.
Well,
the contractor with Ernest and Young, the last time I saw it, because it was before city council, they keep bringing it in spurts. See, they don't bring it all at one time. First time they brought in $1.1 million. They want them to approve that. That didn't happen. They put that on the back burner. Then they come back in with another $1.2 million that they want to approve. So I don't know exactly what the cost of it is right now. But more importantly, let's look at the cost of these advisory board people. These advisory board people, as you recall, we're paying $24,000 each plus their expenses, plus any employees that they deem themselves. So you never got a real true cost of what that's cost to the city of Detroit. And you now know recently, just this past weekend, Chris Brown, the CEO, had left, the chief operating officer, had just left the city of Detroit. Now, according to that financial stability agreement, they're supposed to be a chief financial officer in the mix to deal with what's happening with these dollars. But remember, Chris Brown was part of this thing of IHP over the health department that got busted because the emails busted him telling the people to hold off the money. But guess what? Let's not go to sleep, because Chris Brown is going to show up somewhere again. Just keep your eyes open.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, Ed McNeil. I'm gonna say this. First of all, the city council needs to show some leadership. They have to stop being cowardly, and they're continuing to be cowardly. Mayor Dave Bing is going to do us no favors at all, as long as he is beholden to the governor and the corporate big shots that have filled his pockets with campaign cash. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, this is about protecting our union brothers and sisters. We have to hold them accountable. Ed, let's stay in touch. Let's continue to tell this story. Let's turn this thing around, and let's not let them off the hook, Ed.
Well, we're not going to do that, Tony, and I hope that the taxpayers see actually what's going on, and the taxpayers get up and stand up and stand down and make a heck of a lot of noise, not only with the city of Detroit, but the state of Michigan, and say, hey, stop playing with our lives.
Absolutely. Ed McNeil from Ask Me Council 25. Ed, we're just out of time, but we'll talk very soon. Thank you.
Thank you a lot, Tony.
You bet. Ed McNeil once again. Zach Pohl with Progress Michigan. Man, that pisses me off. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to 275 northbound just after Ford Road. An accident has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Cherry Hill. On 696 westbound between Van Dyke and 75, slow traffic there. and it's slow moving on 75 southbound between Rochester Road and 8 Mile, and tapping the brakes on M53 southbound between Hall Road and Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio. I'm Dirk Van. Another twist to the scandal that cost General David Petraeus his job as CIA chief. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says another top-ranking U.S. general is under investigation.
Marine General John Allen replaced David Petraeus as commander in Afghanistan last year. But Allen has now been caught up in the FBI probe that led to Petraeus' resignation as CIA director.
Petraeus stepped down last week, admitting an extramarital affair. They're back, the lame duck Congress, back in Washington to confront the so-called fiscal cliff. And as NBC's Brian Moore reports, it sounds like we're back to square one on taxes.
The president and House Speaker John Boehner each are drawing a line in the sand. The speaker wants a tax overhaul that raises money by cutting loopholes. Democrats say Republicans are going to have to compromise.
And Black Friday is becoming Black Thursday as retailers from Toys R Us to Walmart open their doors for Christmas shopping on what some are calling Black Thursday Eve, also known as Thanksgiving. This is NBC News Radio. Blame it on Hurricane Sandy. Used car prices are expected to spike nationwide because the big storm wiped out thousands of new and used vehicles. CNBC's Shartia Brantley.
Up to 250,000 vehicles were lost in the New York area because of the storm. Dealers say they saw a spike in business last weekend as consumers looked to replace their damaged car or truck.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state's going to need $30 billion in federal aid to cover damage from Sandy. Thousands in New York and New Jersey still without power. Another milestone in the quest for U.S. energy independence, a report by the International Energy Agency says by 2020, the U.S. will overtake Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil producer. And to the winner go the spoils. To the loser, well, there's always memorabilia. The website MittRomney.com still offers Romney Ryan buttons, shirts, caps, belts, and bumper stickers as souvenirs of the 2012 campaign. Free shipping, but sorry, no discounts. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Marcel Tolkowski invented the Ideal Cut Diamond in 1919. Find yours today at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
The Ideal Cut unlocks the true beauty of the diamond. Invented by Tolkowski, perfected by Tolkowski. And our expert staff can help you create the perfect ring by guiding you through our incredible selection of diamonds at Jared today.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Dave Davis here with a Channel 5 traffic report. There's not much movement down there. I mean, none. Where's everyone heading? The mall?
Prep your car for holiday travel and check gifts off your list today at Sears Auto Center. Right now, get a conventional oil change for just $21.99 and a complimentary battery check. Plus, receive a $5 coupon to shop while you wait. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. Valid for most vehicles. Regularly $29.99. Coupon valid through 11/24. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Small businesses are feeling better about economic conditions, which is not to say they're feeling very good. This morning's Small Business Optimism Index by the National Federation of Independent Business finds a small uptick in October from September, but the number of firms expressing uncertainty about the future hit a record high. Much of that uncertainty election-related. Uncertainty may be down this month now that the election is over, or it simply may be shifting to the fiscal cliff. That's basically what's been happening on Wall Street, and it's still going on now. Fiscal cliff fear and Greece bailout worry are getting the blame for the following. S&P futures are down 7. NASDAQ futures down 17. Dow futures down 56. Maybe you've heard people make jokes that Hostess Twinkies can last for years without expiring. What's not so funny is that the company may not last. Reports say Hostess actively is considering complete liquidation of itself. 3 Hostess factories are now being shut down, 627 jobs affected. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They say music is a universal language, but when I was in an accident, I was worried the healthcare system spoke a language all its own. But with United Healthcare, I got help that fit my life. Information on my phone, connection to doctors who get where I'm from, tools to estimate what my care may cost. So I never missed a beat.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 13th day of November 2012. And, well, the election is now securely 1 week behind us. We know that nationally there's a mandate, but at the state level, things didn't go exactly as we had planned, although we did have some successes. One of them was not recapturing the majority in the House, making this lame duck session perhaps not as frenzied as it might have been. But, folks, I need to remind you that with only a 59-51 majority, and that sounds like, well, they've got 8+, it's not quite that simple. There are some Republicans that live in swing districts. We have more than a handful of Republicans that were barely able to squeak through this election cycle. What does that mean? It means they have less flexibility when it comes to voting with their party. What it also means, and ultimately means, is they only have about a 3-person majority once you break it down. But this lame duck session does matter, and as we look forward, well, we've got something to discuss, and we're going to do that right now. So, gentlemen, if you'll give me an intro, we'll get going.
Providing a credible voice to grassroots organizations while holding public officials accountable and proving time and time again that you can't stop progress. First Shift proudly welcomes Progress Michigan to your show.
And we welcome back Zach Pohl, the executive director of Progress Michigan, after having last week off because we were doing our cavalcade of candidates. We welcome Zach back to the show. Zach, a pleasure to have you with us today.
Good to be back, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, it has been an interesting week, actually 2 weeks since we last spoke with you, but certainly the last week has been very interesting, Zach. And as we take a look at this lame duck session, my assertion, it could have been a little more frenzied, is probably true, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be marked with some very interesting stuff moving forward.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of issues that could be moving pretty quickly through the legislature. Three that we're going to be keeping a close eye on over the next couple weeks or so are repeal of the personal property tax, which essentially would be another huge giveaway to corporate special interests. Possible discussion over a so-called right-to-work bill, basically as a retaliation against attempt to pass Proposal 2. And this anti-choice omnibus bill that got a lot of attention over the summer. This is the bill that State Representative Lisa Brown was ultimately banned from speaking about on the House floor. There's a lot of talk that this could move. And again, this is basically a bill that Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch would love. It's a pretty extreme bill that would just put all kinds of new restrictions on a woman's ability to get health care when it comes to pregnancy. So these are three issues we're going to be keeping a close eye on over the coming weeks. And as you said, there's going to be some tough votes coming up for Lansing Republicans, and it'll be really interesting to see how aggressive they are in pushing this pretty extreme agenda before the end of the year.
Well, it is a pretty extreme agenda. You know, it's been interesting. There have been more than one article written in the past week about how Election Day was a boom for Governor Snyder, that it gave him some kind of political capital that he didn't have before, that it was, you know, certainly a feather in his cap, a referendum on his leadership. And of course, all of those articles made me laugh. They lost five votes. They've lost five people in the House. We have they barely won in a handful of races. If any message was sent, we got our eye on you, Zach.
Absolutely. And it's been interesting. It's sort of been overlooked a little bit in a lot of media outlets. Democrats in the state of Michigan actually won more votes across the state for their House candidates than Republicans did, to about 2.2 million votes to about 1.9 million votes. And the reason the Republicans barely clung on to a majority is because of gerrymandering. We can't forget that last year Republicans controlled the entire process of drawing new districts for House districts and Senate districts. And again, so even though they got fewer total votes across the state for their candidate, they still came out with a five-vote majority. Now, the other thing that is worth pointing out is Governor Snyder lost five seats. Now, to put that in context, that's more losses for a first-term governor from anyone dating back to 1984 when Richard Blanchard lost seats when President Reagan was reelected. So even Jennifer Granholm gained seats in 2004, her first term, and Governor Engler gained seats during his first term in 1992 when President Clinton was elected. So I think there is a lot for Governor Snyder to be worried about, actually. I mean, the centerpiece of his policy agenda, Public Act 4, was repealed by voters. So I think he needs to take a step back and question some of the policies that they've been pushing over the last 2 years.
No question. Let's take these one by one. You had named three very specific agenda items, and let's start with the personal property tax repeal. I'll start with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek question, and of course you'll appreciate my sarcasm, but if giving tax breaks to businesses was supposed to create jobs and $1.8 billion in gifts doesn't create a job, Zach, am I getting this wrong, or is not giving business more tax breaks probably not the way to create jobs?
Yeah, we've seen it was interesting. You know, they passed this $1.8 billion tax giveaway for big corporations last year. Keep in mind, these are the same corporations that have been shipping jobs to countries like China and Mexico for years. And then they paid for it by cutting $1 billion from local schools and raising taxes on seniors. And what's interesting is as soon as Governor Snyder's business tax cuts kicked in earlier this year, the unemployment rate in Michigan started going up again for several months in a row this year. And so now they want to give corporate special interests about another $500 million tax giveaway. And how is it paid for? It would essentially be paid for by cutting local revenue sharing for communities to pay for things like police, fire protection, local schools. So, again, this would just be another, you know, big, wet, fat kiss for corporate special interests in Lansing coming out of, you know, local middle-class communities. It's going to make it harder to keep our communities safe and give our kids the education they need.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how the personal property tax works, because it does go to your local municipality, which has already been severely hampered by the state's revenue sharing formula or lack thereof, Zach Pohl. And so as we take a look at repealing and not replacing something like the personal property tax, there isn't a municipality within the sound of my voice and beyond the sound of my voice that isn't saying, how do we replace that revenue? In fact, they've been asking that question since this issue first came up. No one's answering, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's we've been seeing a lot of kick the can down the road on this issue. I mean, of course, a lot of Lansing Republicans love the idea of giving corporations a big tax cut, but they just either haven't figured out or are you know, being a little coy about how they would replace the revenue. I think it's because they don't have a lot of good options, frankly. And it's worth pointing out, too, to your listeners that the name is a little deceiving. It's called the personal property tax, but this is a tax on business equipment. So, you know, again, it goes to local communities, and especially in Southeast Michigan, you know, rely on this tax revenue, again, to, you know, invest in police and fire protection, which are already stretched pretty thin. So any more cuts to these services are going to make it really tough to make sure there's someone on the other end of the line when you dial 911.
Right. Well, you know, in some communities, this is not as big of a deal because they don't rely on business for this, so it's not like they would miss as much. But as you said, especially in Southeast Michigan, from Chrysler Corporation to General Motors to Ford to your little corner Coney Island, they're all paying a personal property tax that, again, feeds your local municipality. And when that money goes away and there's not a plan to replace it, guess what happens? People get laid off. Services go away. And once again, cities are devastated with another penalty. Either that, Zach, or they have to do what they're probably going to do, which is further tax the middle class, and they've gotten good at that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, this $1.8 billion tax cut that was given to corporations last year, I mean, they went straight to local schools and seniors to pay for it. I mean, these are two of the most vulnerable, you know, groups in the state of Michigan, and they were the ones footing the bill for this huge tax giveaway that really hasn't worked yet, hasn't helped create jobs here in Michigan. So, you know, it just goes to show that Lansing Republicans really need to get their priorities straight. The public's been pretty emphatic that they want both parties to work together to, you know, start creating jobs by fixing our roads and bridges and giving our kids a better future by investing in education. And frankly, we just haven't been seeing that, and that's not, unfortunately, what we're seeing on the agenda for the lame duck session here.
Well, we still have to go back to some, you know, fundamental ways we measure this stuff. One of the ways we measure successful legislation is by what it does. Well, when you're sold something as a job-creating stimulus and it doesn't create jobs, Zach, I'm just asking the question, isn't that called a failure?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a fair word for it. You know, I think people are just kind of sick and tired of the gridlock, both in Lansing and Washington. They're ready for both parties to start working together on these issues because we know what it takes to create jobs. I mean, if we put people back to work fixing our roads and bridges, if we invest in education, both at the K-12 level and higher education, we know we can give kids a better future so they can compete for high-tech jobs. And unfortunately, it's just the holdup has been our politicians, our elected leaders. Instead, they're pushing essentially more giveaways to big corporations that I said, you know, have been outsourcing jobs. And we know that doesn't work. It's time to get our priorities straight and focus on getting our economy moving again.
All right, Zach Pohl, my guest, Executive Director of Progress Michigan, progressmichigan.org. A very quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. Right to Work, the omnibus bill he mentioned. And, of course, you're welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's take it here. We'll be back with Zach Pohl right after this on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
Out of all the nastiness I've seen in the day, you were one of the few that's very honest, that's very sincere, and very true to heart of people like you, Carl Levin, and every staff and all are good for this state.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 275 northbound just after Ford Road. That accident has been cleared, but traffic is still moving slow from Michigan Avenue. On 75 northbound at Dearborn Street, accident has your right shoulder blocked. Another accident is blocking the right shoulder on 75 southbound just before 696. Eastbound 94 at 275, accident has your left shoulder blocked. 94 westbound at Rosso Highway, another accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from 21 Mile. And on M59 westbound at Rochester Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back. Zach Pohl, my guest, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. Let's hit the ground running here, Zach, in our second segment and talk about right to work. I love it when the media writes about it. It's about retribution and revenge, and it's about none of those things. We had a democratic right to put a proposal on the ballot. The people did speak, and they have spoken. Okay, I get that. But they've also spoken about something that you know intimately well, that a vast majority of Michiganders support collective bargaining.
Absolutely. We did a poll, actually, the night of the election last week, and saw that about 70% of Michigan voters support collective bargaining rights because they know it protects wages, benefits, and keeps people safe on the job. Even 55% of people who voted no on Proposal 2 said they support collective bargaining in this state. And I think what was also maybe even more telling was that what we found is voters overwhelmingly want politicians in Lansing to be focused on creating good jobs and improving education and not focused on passing laws that are going to undermine collective bargaining rights. And that's exactly what so-called right to work bill would do. And it's been interesting. It wasn't a day or so after the election was over that we saw politicians in Lansing, from the House Speaker to the Senate Majority Leader, talking about discussing right to work. And I think they got the wrong message from Election Day. People still support collective bargaining in this state. They want leaders to be focused on jobs, not on attacking collective bargaining. So it's time for these guys to get their priorities straight. And right to work is just ultimately going to be a bad idea for Michigan and isn't something we should be wasting our time on.
Yeah, no question that's true. You know, it also, need to drag Governor Snyder into this conversation as well, although he says it's not on his agenda and he feels it's divisive. When asked directly, and this is before he was even elected governor, before he was even considered a serious candidate for the governorship, he was asked point blank and has been many times, if it lands on your desk, will you sign it? And he never says no. Zach, that tells us that's an answer, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think it's clear it's time for Governor Snyder to do something really tough and take a position on whether or not he would sign a so-called right to work bill. You're right. He's been all over the place on this issue. And it's time for him to take a stand. If he really does think this is a divisive issue, he needs to come forward and publicly state his intention to veto any right to work bill. It's time to put this to bed once and for all, instead of having politicians in Lansing wasting time on this bill that we know is going to hurt the middle class. We know it's not going to do anything to help create jobs in this state. And so it's time for Governor Snyder to do something really tough and say once and for all that he would veto any right to work bill if it reaches his desk.
Yeah, it's a simple word, Governor, N-O. It's just a simple word. In fact, let me suggest, Zach, had he have come down on this in a more affirmative way long before the election cycle began, long before we put proposals on the ballot, he could have saved the state and the people of the state of Michigan millions upon millions of dollars with a fight that would have been unnecessary. But because he doesn't have the courage to just say no, we just don't know, and we can't trust this guy. That's the bottom line.
I think you're right. You know, lip service only goes so far. It's great to hear Governor Snyder say things like he thinks collective bargaining works. He looks forward to engaging in collective bargaining with state employees again in the future. But actions speak louder than words. And so far we've just heard a lot of, you know, lip service from this guy about, right to work being divisive. And it's time once and for all for him to, really put this to bed by saying he'd veto a bill instead of dragging this out any farther.
Absolutely. Let me, before we get into this last topic, remind people that 54% of women voted for President Barack Obama. And even more interesting, 70% of single women voted for Barack Obama. Now, why am I telling you all this? Well, one of the issues that repeatedly came up during the campaign was women's reproductive rights. One of the real benefits of the Affordable Care Act is it finally takes away the discriminatory practice of considering women of childbearing years having a pre-existing condition because, God forbid, they may want to procreate. Well, women woke up. But did the state of Michigan wake up? Did our Republican legislature get that message? Zach Pohl, I think I do know the answer to that, and I don't think I'm going to give it an affirmative response to it. But they need to be mindful that women are paying attention, and just because we're in a lame duck session, just because we just got done with election, doesn't mean there aren't consequences to making the wrong decision here.
Absolutely. And again, it's clear that, you know, Lansing Republicans got to get their priorities straight. If we go back in time a little bit, it was late spring, early summer was when they were pushing through this very extreme anti-choice omnibus bill. This is the bill that Representative Lisa Brown was speaking out against on the House floor when she gave her now famous floor statement talking about, I'm glad you're also interested in my vagina, but frankly, no means no. She was subsequently banned from speaking on the House floor. It sort of became a running scandal because she was banned, as well as State Representative Barb Byram. It was interesting, actually, once the public sort of woke up to what was going on in Lansing, Republicans backed off pretty quickly and put this on the back burner. Well, now fast forward, here we are after the election. There's a lot of talk from the pro-life community about pushing this bill through during the lame duck session. I mean, again, this is a bill that Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch would love. It doesn't include any exemptions for rape, incest, or the health of the woman, and essentially would leave women who are in an emergency situation in peril. This is a horrible bill. And the idea that we would be wasting time on this instead of focusing on jobs is just incredibly infuriating, frankly. And it's time for these elected officials in Lansing, you know, the vast majority of whom are men, to get their priorities straight and realize this isn't something that the state of Michigan needs right now.
No, it is not. And, of course, there could also be other bills that may be considered as we work through this lame duck session of the state legislature. And how many days they're going to put in, God only knows. I do have to ask you, Zach, your thoughts on the Republicans on not only renominating but reelecting Jay Spolger as the Speaker of the House when he's in the middle of a criminal investigation.
Well, it'll be really fascinating to see what happens with this grand jury investigation. We could have the Speaker of the House under grand jury indictment. I guess Lansing Republicans have only themselves to blame. I mean, this is a guy who tried to rig an election, got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and they rewarded him by giving him two more years as Speaker of the Michigan House. I think it's pretty outrageous that they would do such a thing. There are plenty of other Republicans in that caucus who could serve as Speaker right now. And to reward him after trying to rig an election is, I guess I should be surprised, but I guess nothing takes me by surprise anymore with what's coming out of Lansing these days.
Well, absolutely. I would imagine that as we go through the next couple of weeks, lame duck may be something we're talking about quite a bit, not only on the show, but with Progress Michigan. Zach, as always, I appreciate your time this early Tuesday morning. We'll look forward to talking to Jessica next week.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
You bet. Zach Pohl, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. Again, you'll find them online at progressmichigan.org. A quick break here. Jocelyn Benson when we continue.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Qdoba Mexican Grill.
Checking your rush hour drive. Still watching that accident on 75 northbound at Dearborn Street has your right shoulder blocked. 75 southbound before 696. Accident has your right shoulder blocked there. They've cleared the accident on 94 westbound just after Rosso Road, but traffic is still stop and go from 21 miles. And M59 westbound at Rochester Road. Accident has your left shoulder blocked with slow traffic from M53. And just watching slow traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and Southfield Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need plans for lunch? Stop into Qdoba and get your meal queso-fied. For a limited time, Qdoba is offering their one-of-a-kind three-cheese queso on any burrito absolutely free. Just ask to have your burrito queso-fied, and you'll see why bacon's got nothing on queso.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy, and it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Paulie D here. You know when it's 3:30 and you're starting to slow down? No, I don't mean 3:30 p.m. I'm talking about having a life. When you're at the club, fist pumping, my arms are tired. Hell, my hair's even on the way down. That's when I need a boost to be my best. So I drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff so I don't crash or get jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. It's part of my routine now. A little GTL, a little SK. Finally, I have the energy to get a real job. Yeah, buddy.
New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Not bothering to vote is deplorable, but preventing others from voting is disgraceful and disgusting. Yet, voter suppression has become an acceptable, routine, and widespread political tactic of Republican officials, operatives, and funders. This year, the vile nasties of suppression were in full howl in such key states as Florida, Ohio, and Wisconsin, telling lies and twisting the rules to deter minorities and other likely Democratic voters from casting ballots. Voter fraud is a felony, screeched 140 billboards strategically placed in inner-city neighborhoods of Ohio and Wisconsin. They pictured a judge's gavel slamming down, along with this message, 3.5 years and $10,000 fine. Subtle, huh? The ads had no disclosure of who paid for them. When told they'd have to own up to their sponsorship, the cowardly suppressors chose instead to have the billboards taken down. Well, they can run, but they can't hide. The Einhorn Family Foundation of Milwaukee was behind this nastiness. It's the right-wing plaything of the billionaire Einhorn family, venture capital hucksters who use their fortune to back right-wing politicians and, get this, to, quote, promote liberty. Then there are sorry public officials like Florida Governor Rick Scott, who rig election rules to make voting hard to impossible for many Democrats. This year, he slashed the days for early voting almost in half, had thousands of unsuspecting voters purged from the rolls, and refused to alleviate nightmarish wait times of 3 to 9 hours at some Democratic polling places. But, declared this cynical scoundrel, I want everybody to get out to vote. This is Jim Hightower saying, and I want political thugs like him to get out of the way of our democracy. To help, connect with the Brennan Center for Justice at www.brennancenter.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
Joining me now to talk about this and a variety of other issues is Jocelyn Benson. Jocelyn is, again, Associate Professor of Law at Wayne State University and Associate Director of the Damon J. Keith Center for Civil Rights. She's the creator and director of the Michigan Allies Project and is here today to talk about voting reform in the state of Michigan. Jocelyn, as always, it's a pleasure to visit with you.
Likewise, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Let's just back up a week, and I'm not looking for specific numbers, but I'm sure you have data on. Let's talk about the 866 our vote number. How busy were those folks last Tuesday?
We were busy throughout the entire day, from the moment the polls opened to people waiting in line at the end of the day to make sure that they could vote. We had over 500 calls that we responded to in Michigan and a surprising array of issues. A lot of people talking about long lines, having to wait inordinate amounts of time in order to cast their ballot. And a lot of those long lines were exacerbated by machines breaking down throughout the state, and particularly early in the day, which suggests to me that we need to really examine our voting machines and perhaps upgrade them, because it's unacceptable that so many of them were breaking down so early.
Right, and that was certainly the lion's share of what I was helping people get through. As an example, somebody called me from a Livonia precinct, Jocelyn, and one of the reading machines wasn't working, and this was the two options that they gave this person. They said, well, you can either spoil your ballot, which meant you could destroy it and come back and vote later, hoping that it would work, or you could leave your ballot there and that once the machine was fixed, they would then feed those ballots into that either that machine or one at City Hall. The problem was, and his concern was, how did he know that they would do that? He had no guarantee that his vote would count. He was very concerned.
Right, and we heard reports of people saying, co-workers saying, you know, just trust us with your ballots. We'll put them in the machine. And there's actually a proper procedure for co-workers to go through when machines break down. There's actually, for lack of a better word, a lockbox inside the voting machine itself that ballots are supposed to be put into if the machine isn't able to take them, and that places them in a secure location until they can be counted. So a lot of places didn't go through that procedure, and we had to send volunteers to make sure to the precincts to make sure the procedure was followed. And then we also had some voters who were turned away because they didn't have an ID or they didn't have what a poll worker felt was a proper ID, which was also inappropriate. If you don't have ID, you're supposed to be given an affidavit under Michigan's law. So we also had to make sure poll workers were following the law appropriately, and I think poll worker training was very inconsistent across the state, and so we definitely need to improve the training of poll workers to avoid confusion at the polls.
Well, let me place some of this on Ruth Johnson, our Secretary of State's head, for just a moment. Jocelyn, just follow me. We knew we had challenges during the primary. You and I talked right after the primary, mm-hmm. and yet the same problems we had on August 7th, we had again on November 6th. Doesn't she bear some responsibility for this?
Certainly. State's chief election administrator, everything stops there. Everything is the responsibility of the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State should be the chief advocate for voters in the state, the voice to ensure that voters are not disenfranchised on Election Day. And instead, we've seen the exact opposite. Of course, we had a lawsuit after the primary election that found that some of her behavior actually violated the Constitution of the United States. So there's a large gap in between what we should be seeing in that office and what we actually are seeing. And ultimately, it's the voters who pay the price when they have to wait in line hours on Election Day in order to cast their ballot, or when machines break down, or when they're wrongly disenfranchised. And so we absolutely have to ensure that the law is improved and modernized in time for our next election. But, you know, we also have to think seriously about what type of leadership we want coming out of that office.
Well, here's another concern I have, that when she was the county clerk in Oakland County, she actually had written a very passionate letter in defense of wanting to modernize the voting equipment in Michigan. She had asked for a review of voting policy. She was passionately on the side of voters. What happened to that Ruth Johnson? She seems to have disappeared.
Well, that's certainly a question for her. That maybe if she comes on your show, Tony, you can ask her. I think we've definitely seen a lot of things coming out of that office that indicate someone who's not necessarily on the side of voters, and particularly also on the side of our military voters. I mean, remember, the Secretary of State was sued because she didn't get ballots to our overseas voters and military voters in time for the August primary. So there's, I think a lot of questions about how that office is operating and whether or not it's truly operating in line for what the voters need, or whether it's operating in line for what, you know, the Republican Party needs.
All right. Let's, Jocelyn Benson, again, my guest. Let's go to the phones. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Rich in Detroit joins us now. Rich, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You're on the air with Jocelyn Benson.
Great show, Tony. How do you do it, Jocelyn?
Good morning.
Question about what you think can be done about the long line that we saw, particularly in Detroit. I was with the NAACP, and we were faced with lines of 6 to 8 hours long. What do you think, other than, I guess, obviously more volunteers? I don't know if you have any advice for local city clerks or whomever may be working on this initiative to just really cut down on the length of those lines. And then also wondering if you are considering run again for Secretary of State in 2014, because we really need someone who's going to be in that office to fight for making sure that every vote is counted, not someone who's going to try to limit the votes that can be counted.
Jocelyn, I just want to point out, I didn't ask that question, Rich did.
Well, I think there's certainly a
lot of
anecdotes.
Oh, we need it, though. We absolutely need it.
I'm not arguing with you, Rich.
Well, I'm very, very passionate about that office. I will say that. And, you know, my husband is deployed in Afghanistan right now, so any decision I make about any future election is going to be with him when he returns in a few months. So stay tuned for that. But I certainly believe we need leadership in that office that stands on the side of voters. And I certainly believe we're not seeing that right now. But more, you know, immediately to address long lines in Michigan, one of the things that we don't have that nearly every other state in the country has is early voting and no reason absentee voting. And what both of those reforms do is give voters a choice and ability to not have to wait in line, but instead vote early or vote absentee without having to state a reason. And that actually has been proven in other states to be the best antidote to wait times on election day. We also have to upgrade our voting machines and perhaps in some areas provide more poll workers. One of the problems in the city of Detroit, where I live and was based on Election Day, is that the clerk has consolidated a lot of precincts into one or two areas. And so that means there may be multiple precincts in one location. And as a result, you have, you know, three or four times as many people showing up to that one location as they otherwise would because there are so many precincts there. And sometimes people will stand in the wrong line because it's confusing and it's not clear where to stand for which precinct. So a lot of times that is leading to long lines, particularly in the city of Detroit. So I think we need to see if the clerk can change that policy or perhaps expand the number of locations back to where it was previously so that at the very least we don't have that type of confusion and consolidation on election day that exacerbates the wait time for some voters.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome Tim in Berkeley to First Shift. Tim, thanks for calling this morning. You're on the air with Jocelyn Benson.
Good morning. I worked a precinct in Berkeley. I have now for 3 years. We were organized. We had help desks. We never had a voter wait more than 2 or 3 minutes to vote, and we did about 1,100 in our shift. I kept hearing all day about lines in Oak Park and everywhere else, but it always was followed by, well, they had 15 precincts originally, then they consolidated to 10, then they put them into 5 locations. The point I'm making is that when the local clerks organize help desk, everything. I mean, nobody was ever turned away. I don't understand where all these people are coming from, except it all seems to come back to the local organization is lacking. It isn't all, I won't say that Ruth Johnson doesn't have faults, but it isn't all Ruth Johnson.
Well, I don't know that Jocelyn would necessarily agree with that. And Tim, thanks for the call. We'll let Jocelyn answer that, but we have to take a break, Jocelyn. So stay with us because we won't be able to get it in. Jocelyn Benson again, my guest, folks. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll get to that question or that scenario, if you will, after the break. It's been a week. People are still concerned about the way we are voting. It's time for change. Let's hear from you. We'll take the break and be back with Jocelyn Benson right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work.
Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think... Where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Jocelyn Benson with me once again, Associate Professor of Law at Wayne State University, among other wonderful titles, including activist and director of the Michigan Allies Project. Jocelyn, a great question, actually, before the break. How much of the burden of this is on the local city clerk?
It's a great question, because first we have an example of the fact that not everywhere in the state were long lines. Not every voter had to wait in line hours to vote. And I think that suggests two things. One, that there's a problem because where you live should not determine how long you have to wait in line to vote. Everyone should be treated equally on election day. So that suggests that there actually is a statewide responsibility to make sure across the state, whether you're in Grand Rapids where there are multiple hour lines, Detroit, Oak Park, Kalamazoo, Ypsilanti, wherever you live, you should be given the same opportunity to vote as everyone else. And that is a statewide issue. The second, I think, issue about, what is the responsibility of local clerks vis-a-vis the Secretary of State, it's absolutely a partnership. And there certainly are inconsistencies in terms of funding and access to resources and even materials to train poll workers. But that's another reason why there's a responsibility at the state level to ensure that gaps are filled where they exist, that there's some sort of basic level of poll worker training for every place in the state. One thing I think we should have is a simple 10-question test that every single poll worker in the state must pass before they're placed in a poll on election day, just to make sure they know the very basics, like, should you turn a voter away if they don't have an ID? No, give them an affidavit. Things like that are very basic things that we see inconsistently applied throughout the state, and you need some sort of state-level voice and advocate to make sure there's consistency.
I will say this, where I vote in Dearborn Heights, Jocelyn, and there was a long line. It moved quite quickly, and, of course, I'm an informed voter. I was waiting for, if there were going to be any issues or any problems. There weren't. I'm happy to say that there weren't. And I think what people appreciated, even though they were waiting about an hour to vote, that the line was moving, and they can see. Listen, most people are reasonable, Jocelyn. They see that you're busy. They see that there are a lot of people voting. They don't expect to walk in and out of there in 3 minutes. But there's a difference between waiting an hour in a line that's moving and then waiting 7 or 8 hours in a line that's not. And that's that inconsistency we're speaking of. Jocelyn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. So that's just, that's that inconsistency that we speak of. Let me ask you very quickly. There has been some talk, there's been some national chatter that we need federal legislation that normalizes the election process across the entire country. Would you be a proponent of entertaining that?
Well, yes, but only to a certain extent. I think there is a role for the federal government to play in, even nationally, making sure we have some of that consistency and equality across the board for voters. The problem in the past is that this has been attempted in 2001 and 2002 after the 2000 election, and there were some things that came from it, like we were able to upgrade our voting machines and modernize our equipment, but there are a lot of things that failed, like the creation of an agency that has been the Election Assistance Commission that worked really well at first, but then didn't receive any funding and now is hanging in the wind as Congress decides what to do with it. So I think through the minimal things that we've seen when Congress or the federal government has stepped in, there's a lot of good it can do to both provide resources to the states and localities that, and also provide best practices and just support for election administrators and voters. I don't believe it should completely take over our election system. I think our states and localities have a role to play, but certainly the federal government can play an assistance role, as it's tried to and do in the past, frankly. But it can do that, and I think must do that in order to ensure that the states have equal access to opportunities and support for running elections.
You know, I think it's interesting as we look at data. We know that early voting works, and we know it works in a profound way. We also know that there were a handful of states that restricted the amount of time for early voting in 2012 after having an extended early voting in 2008. And, of course, it begs the question, because all of those states are considered red states. Although Florida flipped for us, thank you very much. But it's interesting that we would restrict voting at all. Are you a proponent of early voting here in Michigan?
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting. A lot of times, I became an election lawyer because I, an attorney and a voting advocate, because I think that no matter who you are, and frankly, no matter who you vote for, you deserve a fair shot at having your voice heard in our political process. And the laws, the thing that is fascinating to me is that the laws can really determine whether or not someone actually has that equal voice. And early voting is one example of that, as well as the fact that some states have it and some states don't, and some states allow vote by mail and others don't. Some states do elections quite well, others don't. And Michigan used to be a leader for how we run elections, and we've fallen behind as so many other states have passed us by modernizing their system and making the voting system more accessible and equal for their voters. So I absolutely think we need early voting and no reason absentee voting in Michigan. I think it's embarrassing that we don't have it. I think that, one role the federal government could play is in trying to raise the bar for all states to have these types of opportunities. And especially when states themselves don't have the leadership to bring us forward. But that said, I also think, and this is why I wrote a book on the Secretary of State's office, that office and a Secretary of State really can be a champion for voters and really can be the catalyst for bringing and modernizing our system and bringing it forward. And so lacking that leadership right now, we're falling behind continually. But I believe with a change in that office, things improve.
Should we still be encouraging people, if they've had issues on election day, to share them with you?
Certainly. We're actually collecting stories continually. You can still call 866-OUR-VOTE, and those stories will be recorded. And we will be releasing a report on all of the incidents that occurred. We logged every single one of them and where they occurred. And I think the thing that struck me the most is that everything we've been talking about, the long lines, the machines breaking down, the inconsistency of the law and the polls, that happened in different parts throughout the state. We've got calls from Ontonagon to Hill, Hillsdale to Allegan to Saginaw, and certainly a lot of calls from Grand Rapids and Ypsilanti and Kalamazoo and other places. But certainly, bad experiences in voting on election day were not restricted to any one locality or one region in the state. They really affected voters throughout the state, and that suggests to me that there are statewide changes that need to happen before our next election, hopefully, and certainly before our next presidential election, to ensure that things are moving much more smoothly.
Well, perhaps you'll have a voice in that. That's all I'm going to say. Jocelyn, I'm sure that we will be talking again, and I appreciate your time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Tony. I look forward to it.
Always, always. 866, our vote. Use the number. Give a call. Leave a message. Let's take a break. Lots to get to in the next hour, including our monthly visit with the Sugar Law Center. Versus just continues after the top of the hour news.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour drive. Still watching that accident on 75 northbound at Dearborn Street has your right shoulder blocked. 75 southbound before 696, accident has your right shoulder blocked there. They've cleared the accident on 94 westbound just after Rosso Road, but traffic is still stop and go from 21 mile. And M59 westbound at Rochester Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked with slow traffic from M53. And just watching slow traffic on westbound 696 between DeQuinder and Southfield Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 38 with sunshine in the afternoon. Tonight, a low of 29. Tomorrow, 43 and mostly cloudy. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with the First Shift Weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift.